Turn with me, if you will, in the Word of God to the letter of James toward the end of the Old Testament, end of the New Testament, sorry. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. It's page 1291 in the Pew Bibles. James is a very practical letter, and he uses some very down-to-earth illustrations. You read it, and you almost don't need any explanation to know what he's talking about. Of course, I'm going to try to do that afterwards anyway, so that we can think about it and think about how it relates to our lives. But James chapter 4, I'll read verses 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. James is talking here about something we do all the time, isn't he? We plan. We make plans. We're not quite 2 weeks into the new year, and I'm sure that many of us have made plans for what we expect to do in the weeks and months to come. As a congregation, we're looking forward to making plans for the new building that we've just purchased. And as families and individuals, we have our various plans. Maybe you've made a New Year's resolution. How's that coming? I won't ask you to report if I haven't made any this year, but if it's like a typical year, if I'd made it, I probably would have forgotten about it by the 11th of January. Some of our plans have to do with big and important things in our lives. You know, this year I'm going to go to such and such a school, or I plan to get such and such a job. I plan to earn this much money this year, and so forth. I'm going to marry this person, and so forth. This year we're going to take a trip to Europe or Hawaii. Some of you have already done that. Some people in this congregation know the exact perfect week to go to Hawaii. But we also make plans for every day. Today I'm going to get up, go to work, and then we're going to go shopping at such and such a store. Things like this. In the evening we'll spend our time doing these activities and so forth. But in our passage, James gives us a warning about making plans. We tend to make certain assumptions in our planning, and we often make some very serious mistakes. James actually calls these sin, evil, arrogant. And so we'll think about what these mistakes are that he's talking about. In verse 13, James illustrates this with a typical statement from a businessman. And as you read this, I think this could just be read in this present day, even though this was written some 2,000 years ago. It just sounds like something that could very well be said today without any concern about whether this is what era this is in. But he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Now, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? Isn't it good to make plans? Well, yes, it is good to make plans. I think the fact that we make plans as human beings is part of our being created in the image of God. God is one who makes plans and then carries out those plans, and in his image, we also think ahead and make plans and seek to carry them out. There's nothing wrong with making plans. Planning is a good thing. As a congregation, we're going to have a meeting in a few weeks, and we'll be doing some planning. What about making a profit? Is there something wrong with making a profit? Well, no, the Bible doesn't condemn doing business to make a reasonable profit. So what's wrong here? Well, the first and biggest mistake that this businessman is making is he's making his plans without God. He's making his plans without God. He has things planned out in detail. He's planned where he's going to go, what he's going to do, how long he's going to stay, and so forth. But there's no mention of God in his plans. And the problem is not that he makes plans. The problem is he's planning with no reference to God. Apparently he doesn't pray about it. He doesn't seek God's leading. He doesn't or God's blessing on his plans. He's depending only on himself and not trusting in God. And James uses some pretty strong words to condemn this kind of planning. In verses 16 and 17, he says, "As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. So when we make plans without reference to God, we're boastful and arrogant. And James says this is evil. Now, when we first read this, I don't know what your response would be to verse 17, but it almost appears unconnected to the rest of the passage, but James connects it. He has the word so, or therefore, in many translations. So it is connected. He's saying that if we make plans like this businessman, in some way we're sinning. We're sinning. Well, what's the sin in all of this? Why is this so arrogant and evil? It's because he's forgetting God. He's forgetting God. This is at the heart of all of our sin. We go about our lives and we forget God. We don't keep him before our face. Psalm 9, verses 16 and 17 says, "The Lord is known by his justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. The wicked return to the grave. All the nations that forget God." All the nations that forget God. The wicked. Forgetting God is the height of wickedness. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32 says, "Does a maiden forget her jewelry, a bride her wedding ornaments? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." Remembering God should be as natural to us as a bride wanting to look good on her wedding day. You never find a bride who doesn't want to look good on her wedding day. And remembering God should be just as natural as that. He's our creator who loves us. If we're in Christ, he's our redeemer. He's the one who saved us from our sins. Everything that we have, everything that we are, we owe to God. But how often do we go about our lives and we forget about him? We forget about him. Or perhaps we remember God for an hour a week on Sunday, or just part of the time. We remember what's important to us. So not remembering God is a sign that we don't consider him important. So James says it's arrogant and evil. So this man in the illustration of James, this businessman, is making his plans to make a profit, but he forgets about God. Now, it's easy for us, of course, to look at an illustration of somebody way out there 2,000 years ago or whatever. But how often do we, even as believers in Christ, plan our lives without any reference to God? How much do you include God in your plans for your daily life? I know people who believe in Jesus Christ for their salvation. They would say they love God with all their heart. But when it comes to making plans and living their lives, some of them are, we might say, they're practical atheists. They live their lives as if God doesn't really exist. He's only reserved for certain times. It's sad, of course, to meet someone who doesn't believe in God, but it may be even sadder to meet someone who says he believes in God, but then lives as if God doesn't exist. And I hope none of you are like that. I hope none of you are practical atheists. Do you include God in all the plans that you make? Is he involved from the beginning? Or do you plan as if he doesn't even exist? The letter of James challenges us. It says, James in another passage says, "You say you believe, show it." In other words, faith without works is dead, is what he says. And then he goes on through these various illustrations to show us what that means. And part of that is to live in such a way that you don't forget God, that he's involved in all of your planning. You say you believe in God. Does he have a say in your business? You say you believe in God. Are you seeking His will and what school you're going to go to? Where you're going to live? What career you're going to follow? Whom you're going to marry and so forth? Is God involved in your plans for retirement? And these are big things, of course, but you say you believe in God. Is He included in your plans for this afternoon or tomorrow, for the rest of the week? If you make plans without God, then you're not acting in faith. You're acting out of presumption. If you say you believe in God but plan without God, you're really living like a practical atheist. Well, what's the answer to this first mistake concerning the future? The answer, of course, is to include God in your planning. James says in verse 15, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And you might want to circle the word if in there. Someone has said that in the middle of life, L-I-F-E is I-F, if. This is something we need to recognize in all the plans that we make. James says we should say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Right? This is a good thing to say. James tells us we should say this. When you talk about your plans, do you say this? If it is the Lord's will or Lord willing, we will do this. This should be natural for us as believers. Now, it could become cliche. It could be something we say without thinking. And we need to be careful of that. We could even end up saying it just so we appear more spiritual than some people. And I don't think James means simply saying the words, but he's talking about our whole attitude as we make plans and look to the future. What do you want for the future? Is that what God wants? Planning without God is foolish. Proverbs speaks to this. Proverbs 16:1 says, to man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. So we make our plans, but God has the last word. Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Some of you may have read Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life and Purpose-Driven Church, and while I don't always agree with what he says, there's one thing that stuck in my mind when I read that a few years back. He says, stop praying for God to bless what you are doing. Instead, pray for God to help you do what he's blessing. And that made me stop to think, what are you planning for this week or this year? Has God been in the planning from the beginning, or have you made all of your plans without reference to God, and then you say, please bless the plans I've already made? How often do we do that? If we were honest, we would say, please bless the plans I've already made without even talking to you about it. That's the first mistake, though, that James talks about here. The first mistake about the future is to plan without God. The second mistake about the future James mentions is simply presuming about tomorrow, or presuming about the future. We know we won't live forever, but we often plan without acknowledging how uncertain tomorrow is. Now, perhaps I don't need to say much to some of you here this morning, because I imagine a lot of you were planning to go to the East